Baruch Hashem, with NATAP, while all the schools are off for Isru Chag locally over here, we at NATAP try not to take off any days from our Talmud Torah. And we are continuing now where we left off before Pesach, and that was in the middle of the fifth parak of Sefer Shoftim, in which we are learning about Shiras Devorah, the song that Devorah sang in exaltation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in deep commitment and gratitude to Hashem for winning the war against Sisera. And we were learning the psukim, trying to understand, first in big picture, is who was singing the song, why exactly did this come out right now, and then thematically, what is Devorah specifically focusing on, or Devorah and Barak specifically focusing on to sing or and express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time. So we said that there are many themes, and usually when it gets to a Shira, there is the micro and the macro. Just like Shira Sayam, the micro is the immediate salvation, which was the Egyptian army, or here it was the army of Sisera, the king of Yavin. But the macro is the big picture, is thinking of Kadosh Baruch Hu in general. That's one where it goes from immediate to other thinking in the past, and then it moves to the future. Then it moves to the future. We took Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha in Az Yashir. We talk about the Beis HaMikdash. There was no Beis HaMikdash yet. There was no discussion about it yet. You have to think about it. Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. There was no appeal yet for the Mishkan, and we're already talking about the Mikdash. That's what Shira gives you, the ability to focus on all three. Haya, Hove, V'yia, past, present, and future, really all at the same time. They converge in the sense in the Shira. And maybe that's why the Shira, Az Yashir, they will sing, right? Because there's a notion, there's a focus on the future. That's where the you know, usually where it goes. So let's continue on right now, discussing the different aspects of the Shira. So Pasuk Ches tells us, Yivchar Elokim Chadashim, Elohim Chadashim, Az Lacham Se'arim, She'arim, Magen Im Yeira'ev, Romach Be'arba'im, Elah B'Yisrael. When they chose new gods. Who is choosing new gods? Right? It seems like the Jewish people, right? Was there a fighter in the gates? No shield or spear was seen amongst the 40,000 in Israel. Referring to that the Jewish people literally had, there was nobody there that had shields or spears. They won the war without weapons. Does this literally mean they won the war without weapons? Most likely people had some weapons. They had some weaponry on them, but this is, they were definitely not equipped. They were definitely not equipped compared to the army of Sisera, which was much way more advanced than they were. Kishabachar lo Yisrael Elohim Chadashim as huskuhu l'mechama b'sha'areihem. The pasuk is referring to the Jewish people who chose other gods as their, who they were going to worship. And when that happened, we know that's the story. That's the cycle of Shoftim, and that continues. That, and then there is a war against them, and when they come back, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their strength, their power again. Libi l'chokikei Yisrael, my heart is with the leaders of Israel, Hamisnadvim Ba'am, who dedicate themselves to the people, Baruchu Hashem, and they praise Hashem. So now what does this mean? Libi l'chokeke Yisrael. Chokek or chakak is a language of engraving. The Sefaria English translates it as the leaders of Israel. That's not so clear. Rashi says here, Libi, my heart, refers to Devorah, is with the Chokikei Yisrael. I love and I appreciate the Chachmei Yisrael, specifically the Rabbanim of Israel, the leaders of the Jewish people, the Torah leaders of the Jewish people, Shehis Nadvu Ba'am, who give so much of themselves to the nation. That is Rashi's interpretation. And that's the English interpretation here. It takes Rashi. The Malbim goes in the Radak. Sorry, I'll go in the Radak. We'll go in gradations here. The Radak says something very similar. He says, Gedola Yisrael v'shoftav u'manhigav, not only the Torah leaders or the teachers, but the Gedola Yisrael, the leaders, the shoftim, the judges, and the manhigim. She's not v'am letzeis melchama, who they themselves went out to war. We didn't really know. We know that very few went out to war, but we didn't really know who those people were, the 40,000 that went out to war. So the Radak is saying here is specifically the leaders of Klal Yisrael, that those are the ones that went out to the war. Ritzoni aleihem, for meres aleihem baruchu Hashem shechnia oyveichem lifneichem, and we thank Hashem that Hashem was machnia, subdued the enemy before them. The Malbim here says it's not referring to the leaders of Klal Yisrael in that sense. Rather, it's referring to the people who went out with Barak, during this time. Shehim Aseres Alafim Shahachum. Initially, we said that 10,000 people went out with Barak, which was a minuscule, very tiny number. And those people, specifically here, is who Devorah is thanking and praising. And even in this pasuk, you see attention. Who is she praising? Is she praising just general, the leaders of the Jewish people? Thank you so much. We appreciate everything you do, always and ever. Or is it very specific, focusing on now? Rochvei asonos, tzichoros, yoshvei al midin. The riders on the tzichoros, on the donkeys, you sit on saddle rugs and you wayfarers declare it. What is going on here? So the Mefarshim say there are different types of people that helped out in this war. The Malbim says there are three levels. There are, number one, there are shirim harochvim malsonos levanos lemischar. There are wealthy individuals that they ride on, apparently, donkeys. The Gemara talks about this too, that there's a type of donkey called the white donkey, and those are very expensive donkeys. So first, he's thanking the wealthy individuals that were helping out. Yoshvei in the bays, Yoshvei al midin, the people that sit on a midin. Heim hashoftim va'uskim haTorah. Number two, I'm thanking and appreciating the shoftim, those that are involved in Torah. And three, ha'inyan ha'ochim ha'derech levakesh mechiyasa matem hakitas chuchem sicho v'sipru niflos Hashem, ha'aniyim. I'm thanking the aniyim. So there are three different types of people that declare and thank Hashem, that are singing their praises. Wealthy individuals that sit very comfortably, the shoftim, and those that are lomdei Torah, and three are the aniyim, those that are impoverished. Everybody here, right? You could have categorized the individuals in different ways. That is the way that the Malbim says the three individuals are, and all these types of people are baruchu Hashem, are thanking Hashem. Sicho is a language of speaking. Siach is a speech or a conversation between two people. Here he's saying that all of these people are going to thank and praise Hashem. Rashi himself gives a very similar interpretation, that there's like three different types of people. There's merchants. He says a little bit differently here. It's Rashi. There's an English Rashi. There's Socharim, and there's different types of people. There's Dayanim, judges. Everybody here, meaning the focus here is that there wasn't a type of people that didn't recognize this act as an act of God. Everybody here was Moda, did recognize that this act was straight from the Ribono Shel Olam, which is the focus. You think about the Six-Day War. You think about you know, next week, 1948, and Milchamet Ha'atzmaut, and the fact that we won that war, and that everybody, no matter where you were coming from, recognized that as Yad Hashem. It was undeniable. It was so obvious. It was so clear. So that this was Yad Hashem. And that's what was happening here. It was clear that Hashem was very much involved in this war. Mikol mechatzim beimishabim sham yichanu tzidkos. Louder than the sounds of the archers. Yichanu tzidkos Hashem tzidkos pirzono biYisrael az yardu lasirim am Hashem. There among the watering places, let them chant the gracious acts of the Lord, his gracious deliverance of Israel. Then did the people of the Lord march down to the gates. So it says here that the people lived safely. Now, what does it mean the people lived safely? So the Radak writes, Mikol yore hachitzim lo hayu chol nishov mayim. You know, we could appreciate this. You know, thank God, Bali Ayin Hara. You know, there are times that Am Yisrael, the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, are under constant attack. And there are certain cities that are under constant attack no matter what is going on. But, you know, think about the bus bombings. And think about, you know, I think a few years ago in America, there was snipers in near the Maryland and Washington, D.C. area. That made everybody so unnerved, so anxious. It caused them to be so afraid to go out to the supermarket to get some, you know, gas at the gas station. It changes your entire lifestyle. The Radak here writes that there was a fourth class of people, and really this affected everybody. It was Mekol Mechatzim, that people were afraid of the Chotetzim, of the archers, that there are people, the army of Sisera was so skilled in killing people in archery that they would be hiding, right, in all these different types of trees, and they would attack people. And this was well known about this army. So Am Yisrael, before they won this war, they were so afraid. Mikol yorach itzim lo hayu yichom lishov mayim. Due to the fear of one of them getting attacked from a sniper, right? A modern day sniper, but back then it was an archer. They wouldn't go ahead and take water out of the well. They wouldn't go to the store and get some gas. V'ata yitnu sham tzidkos Hashem v'tam tzidkos pirzono shiichlu l'sheves ba'arei prazos bibitcha. That now they're able to sit pirzono, able to sit and relax and go outside and sit berevach with comfort and comfortability and to go about their normal life. Before this war, things were abnormal. Things were very difficult. Even your basic necessities were things that people did not want to go ahead and do. Chazal here learn out something deeper from this line of Tzidkos Pirzono Yisrael. Tzidkos Pirzono Yisrael literally means the righteous acts where Pirzono Yisrael were able to spread amongst Israel, which means literally in this context that now, you know, people avoided doing chesed. I couldn't visit somebody in the hospital. I couldn't drop off, you know, a nice kugel before somebody for Shabbos. Why not? I was afraid I was going to get hurt. Tzidkos, and now the tzidkos are spreading all over Israel. The Gemara in Psachim tells us something very fascinating based on this line. Am Rav Hoshea, my dichsiv tzidkos pirzona Yisrael. Sadka asa kadosh baruch hu b'Yisrael shepizran lebeina umos. You ask yourself, why is there a galus? Right? We just celebrated the Chag of Geula. We're still in Yisru Chag, right? Rabbi Yudin always says, has something nice today for Yisru Chag. We're still in Yisru Chag. And you have to ask yourself, right, what was the point of galus? We've been in exile for 2,000 years. The Jewish people have been in almost every single country on the map. And we're not, this is not like we're trying to like, it's not a game. We're check, let's go to every place. But we've been almost everywhere. There's a Jewish community Kimat in every nation. Right now with Chabad, it's probably, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's some tribe in Africa, African country, you know, tribal that we haven't been to, but we've been everywhere. And why is that? Why is that necessary? So the Gemara in Pesachim tells us a fascinating thought. The Gemara says, Staka asa kadosh baruch hu b'Yisrael. Hashem did something good, a righteous act for the Jewish people, that he spread us amongst the nations. And why was that great? Because we could have all been destroyed at once. So instead of destroying us all at once, what'd he do for us? He spread us out all over the entire world. And that was a tzedakah for us, because by putting us everywhere, they gave us a greater continuity. Because once we are in one place, the Jews of Spain needed to be exiled. We easily were able to move to a different country, a different city, and connect to the Jews in that place. That was a tzedakah that he did with us. Elsewhere, Chazal tell us, the reason why he was Pirzona Yisrael, that he spread us out, was to that every we should teach the rest of the world. We should educate the rest of the world about our ways. And that's why Tzidkos spread the tzedakah, spread the righteous acts, righteous teachings throughout the entire world. Uri Uri Devora. Uri Uri Dabri Shir. What does Uri Uri mean? Uri means to wake up. It's on that notion. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh B'Dvaro. Okay. Uri Uri Devora, the wake up Devora. Wake up, wake up. Dabri Shir, sing your song. Kum Barak V'Shvei U'Shvei Shevyecha Ben Avinoam. Take your captives and wake up Avi Noam. What is he waking up from? Who's waking up over here? No, like what? All of a sudden, in the middle of this story, in the middle of this song, they're like, you know, throwing water on their face. Wake up, wake up. The Gemara here tells us, also in Pesachim, Samach Vav, not the same Gemara. The Gemara tells us that a very strong statement about arrogance, actually chametz, you know, represents arrogance. We spoke about humility yesterday in shul, and the matzah represents humility. Humility is a very, very important trait. There are a lot of books and a lot of studies now being written about the importance of humility, how it used to be thought that leaders needed to be arrogant, needed to be show a very strong power, and what is being expressed today is that leaders need to be humble, that the greater the leaders are, the more humble they are. And we know that from the Torah. Moshe was the Anav Mikol Adam. So Gemara tells us that anyone that expresses this an arrogance, if they're a chacham, if they're a wise person, their chachma leaves them. If they're a Navi, they lose their nevuah. And the Gemara says, how do we know that a Navi loses their nevuah if they express arrogance? And they say, it's from this pasuk. The Torah, the Navi told us a few pasukim earlier that Devorah says, Chadlu prazon b'Yisrael, Chadlu ad shekamti Devorah shekamti ein b'Yisrael. Devorah says, the Jewish people were giving up until I came. Till I came. In a certain sense, she was ascribing it to herself. And again, Devorah is a very holy woman. And on her level, right, she's going to get meted out, and she's going to get, you know, a patch for even a small infraction. And that, you know, implied, there was an implication that it was her. So right now, the Navi tells us, Uri, Uri, she needs to wake up. Meaning wake up, go back into her Nevuah state, because she lost her Nevuah. momentarily because she expressed words of arrogance over here. That's a very, you know, something important to think about. Az yarad sarid la'adirim. Am Hashem yarad li begiborim. So az is a big word. Az yashir Moshe, az yashir Yisrael. A lot of shiras that we have in the Torah and or in Tanakh utilize this word az. When is az? Az. Then the remnant of Israel, right? The remnant will be made the victor over the mighty. Who is the remnant? Who is this that we're referring to over here? When is this happening? So as the Malbim writes, Mivaeres ki yesh hevdel gadol, bein hatshuah kudemes, sh'aisa aydei Ehud, sh'aisa b'derech tif'i, lebein hatshuah zo, sh'aisa aydei Hashem. Al zeh amar, az bimei Ehud. So when's then the remnant came, is not referring at all to our story. Previously, Ehud, how did Ehud destroy, attack Moab? He, through natural means, killed Ehud. Ehud killed Eglon through natural means. So that's Az Yarad Sarid La'adirim. Then it was done through natural means. Now it's done through a miraculous way. So he is the remnant from that previous generation who did it differently than we do it. It's fascinating, the word for a survivor in Hebrew. A survivor of the Holocaust. What's a survivor in Hebrew? The word is sarid. Sarid is a survivor, a remnant, it literally means. A remnant, sarid me'esh, is what they, a survivor is what is that language over here. So Ehud survived, even though it was done in a natural way. And Devorah, Barak, and this nation, we're more confident about because of the way that the war was won. Mine Ephraim, Sharsham Bamalek, Acharecha Binyamin, Bamemecha, Mine Machir, Yadu Mechokikim, Mizulun, Moshchim, Beshevet Sofer. From Ephraim came they whose roots are in Amalek. So what does that mean? From Ephraim, they whose roots were in Amalek. Who was the first people to attack Amalek? Who was the first person to wage war on Amalek? That's Yeshua. Yeshua served as the general in the army in the end of Parashat B'Shalach. So Yeshua and people, progeny of Ephraim, are the ones that went out against Amalek. The Rudos Ba'Amalek, Lachlosh Oso Lifi Charev. Now the song gets into a little of some politics here. Not as bad as the politics in our country, but some politics about who makes it, who joined the war, and who did not join the war. And we will see and we'll notice that there are some tribes that did not join the war, and we don't have such great words to share about him. So here, the Minei Ephraim, referring to Ephraim in general, they came out to the war over here. And this is something that is done throughout, that they were Binyamin after them, and Minei Machir, and Zvulun, Moshchim, Beshevet Sofer, and they all came out to help in this war on behalf of Klal Yisrael. V'sarei b'Yisachar im Devora, v'Yisachar kein Barak be'emek Shulach, Braglav b'Pagos Reuven Gedolim Chokikei Leif. And Yisachar and his chiefs came out with Devora. Yisachar kein Barak be'emek Shulach, Braglav b'Pagos Reuven Gedolim Chokikei Leif. And also, who came out, Yisachar's chiefs were with Devora, the leaders of Yisachar, came out, even though Yisachar, the Lomdei Torah, they also came out to fight against Sisera. HaMeshorah Yasim Libo V'Rabbe Nav Ashnei Shvatim Ruvain V'Dan. So the Malbim points out over here that there are two that did not go out. Who is that? Reuven and Dan. Reuven and Dan did not go out to war. even though Reuven made a deal with Yehoshua and with Moshe Rabbeinu that they would go out to war and help Klal Yisrael when there were wars. Reuven and Dan themselves did not go out in this specific war, and that was a problem. That was a difficulty within the Jewish people at this time, why they did not go out to the war. And we will see how that perhaps affects the long-term implications of these two Shvatim in Sefer Shoftim. We will stop here for today, and Bezrat Hashem, we will continue next week with the conclusion of Shiras Devorah. Wish everybody a great day and great, safe, and healthy week.
Have a good day.
Thank you.